Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 6, 61, that's what I thought. Sri Narada Vacha Iti Daitya Patir Vakyam Ditir Akarnya Shasnuisha Putra Shokam Shanat Tyaktva Tyatve Chitam Akar Adarayat Srinaru Vacha. Srinara Muni said, Iti, thus, Daityapate, of the king of the demons, Vakyam, the speech, Diti, the mother of Haranyakashipu and Haranyaksha, Akaranya, hearing, Sashnusha, with the wife of Haranyaksha, Putra Shokam, the great bereavement for her son, Haranyaksha, Shanat, immediately, Tyaktva, giving up, Tatve, and the real philosophy of life. Chitam, heart. Adaryat, engaged. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Narada Muni continued, Diti, the mother of Haranyakashipu and Haranyaksha, heard the instructions of Haranyakashipu along with her daughter-in-law, Rushabhanu, Hiranyaksha's wife. She then forgot her grief over her son's death and thus engaged her mind and attention in understanding the real philosophy of life. Report. When a relative dies, one certainly becomes very much interested in philosophy. But when the funeral ceremony is over, one again becomes attentive to materialism. Even daityas, who are materialistic persons, sometimes think of philosophy when some relative meets death. The technical term for this attitude of the materialistic person is shmash shana vairagya, or detachment in a cemetery or in a place of cremation. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, four classes of men receive an understanding of spiritual life and God: Artha, the distressed; Jignasu, the inquisitive; Artha, Arti, one who desires material gains; and Jnani, one who is searching for knowledge. Especially when one is very much distressed by material conditions, one becomes interested in God. Therefore, Kunti Devi said in her prayers to Krishna that she preferred distress to a happy mood of life. In the material world, one who is happy forgets Krishna or God. But sometimes, if one is actually pious but in distress, he remembers Krishna. Queen Kunti Devi therefore preferred distress because it is an opportunity for remembering Krishna. When Krishna was leaving Kunti Devi for his own country, Kunti Devi regretfully said that she was better off in distress because Krishna was always present, whereas now that the Pandavas were situated in their kingdom, Krishna was going away. For devotee, distress is an opportunity to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. As in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the seventh canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Haranyakashipu, King of the Demons. So the text again. Sri Narada Muni continued, Diti, the mother of Haranyakashipu and Haranyaksha, heard the instructions of Haranyakashipu along with her daughter-in-law, Rushabhanu, Haranyaksha's wife. She then forgot her grief over her son's death, and thus engaged her mind and attention understanding the real philosophy of life. Maharaja Yudhisthira, before he had, well, in another canto at least, I don't know, he had requested Krishna to come. Actually, that's in the 10th canto. In the 10th canto, he sent a messenger to Krishna, namely Narada Muni, inviting Krishna to come to the Rajasuya sacrifice. And in that sacrifice, Maharaja Yudhisthira wanted to show that it is not only when one is distressed that one should worship Krishna, or that one should be fearful. That if I worship Krishna, perhaps, yasyanugrahami karishe taddanam shanai, that Krishna has a reputation of being Hari. Hari means one who steals. But actually, Hari means one who tries to steal your heart. But sometimes people take it that Krishna is going to take away my material belongings. If I worship him, who knows what he'll do? He stole butter when he was younger. He stole milk products. And he stole the gopis' hearts, but then he left them bereaved, crying all day and night. So they're a little reluctant to worship Krishna. Because if you worship Krishna, you have to check your pocket and see whatever you had is still there. Especially if you go to the temple, everyone will ask you for something. Sometimes. So people are reluctant. So Maharaja Yudhisthira wanted to show the world that if you worship Krishna, he's not going to take everything away. But you can, if you're worshiping in the proper consciousness, Krishna can give you everything, as he gave Maharaja Yudhisthira and the Pandavas. So much opulence. Of course, then he took it all away, and then he gave back to them. Then he took it all away. But that's the nature of living in the material world. No one can expect to have everything forever. Even Lord Brahma, for 100 births, he strictly followed the Varna and Ashram system to become Brahma. And he gets a kingdom which is great, which rules over the whole universe. But he only lives for 311,040,000,000,000 years, and then he has to die. And according to his consciousness, he gets his next state of being, like everyone else. Now for us, 311,040,000,000,000 years is inconceivable, but when you're having fun, time goes very quickly. And he's having a lot of fun. So for him, the 311,040,000,000,000 years seems like about our amount of time. But he's a little bit in distress because he knows he has to die. And therefore, according to Kamsa, he's generally in the forest meditating, trying to fix his mind on Krishna to prepare for death. And he's been doing that for 150,000,000,000,000 years already. And he'll do it for 150,000,000,000,000 years more. In other words, there is a time everyone should feel themselves to be somewhat in distress, but then there's a time when sometimes our distress seems to go away to some degree or another. Therefore, one should be prepared to worship Krishna. An advanced devotee can worship Krishna even when they're not in distress. There are different levels of worship, as we know. Chatura Vida Bhajante Mam, as Prabhupada points out in this verse here, there's the artists, they're in distress. And they try so many means. They'll do yoga, so-called yoga. They'll take self-help classes. They'll surf the internet for meditation, how to get free from anxiety, what the diet you follow to get free from anxiety. They'll try so many different ways to get free from distress. Mitevidu swartagita materna krishne paratak svitova Mitobi padyeta grihavratana. That everyone feels in distress. First of all, the senses are pushing us, our minds are pushing us, and death is going to push us. Old age, disease, and death. So we're being pushed by so many on all sides. We're being pressured on all sides. Naturally, unless you're completely asleep, in deep sleep, or you're intoxicated, so you're not even aware of where you are, everyone is in some kind of distress. But when the stress goes away even a little bit, then one thinks about enjoying the material energy. And as soon as one tries to enjoy the material energy, one is immediately put back into stress again. Until finally he gets out of the distress and then he wants to enjoy again. So this is called going from the heavenly planets down to hell. Cycling. And for actually a kovida, an intelligent person, tadbramite, when he's wandering around the universe, then he realizes after some time that the happiness that he's looking for in the heavenly planets and the distress he's trying to avoid in the hellish worlds, in the hellish state of consciousness, these will automatically be attained in due course of time. Ramate. Instead of trying to make arrangements for our happiness and try to avoid our distress, we should make arrangements to become Krishna conscious. Now, the most neophyte devotee, the Shudra, the one who's afflicted, they need affliction to turn to Krishna, or else they're not going to do it. They'll try everything else before they turn to Krishna. And if nothing else works, then all right, give Krishna a chance, see what he can do. And if he doesn't deliver immediately, then they give him up. Or if he does deliver, then they think, thanks a lot, Krishna, you did great. I'll see you next Jamasmi. So long. I'll call you. Do you have an internet address for you? Maybe I can write you a letter. But if one advances to the stage of looking for comfort, then one goes to the temple and prays, you know, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. Then one is praying to Krishna for some material benefit. And as soon as the benefit is there, then so long, Krishna. If I need something else, I'll call you. Or I'll leave my shopping list on the altar, and when you get a chance, you look it over and see what you can send me. I don't mind. Amazon's all right, too. Even if you don't deliver it personally, you can send it by mail. But when one becomes jignasu, a little intelligent, a little inquisitive, then dukeshu vamanagminaksu keshu vigatas priha vita raga vayakroda stita dirmuni uchite. And then one can come up to learn how to come to the platform of one who's not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries, who's not elated when there is happiness, who is freed from attachment, fear, and anger, is known as the sage of steady mind. So this is an advanced devotee. This is not just the beginning devotee. This is the level that we're supposed to be practicing on. And if our life is just, we think it's full of stress, distress, it's because we have neglected to even try to understand the first instruction of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, that you're not the body. Your body is in distress. And you're in distress because you're identifying yourself with your body. So identify yourself with Krishna and you won't be in distress anymore. Oh, that's too complicated. I have to get out of distress first. Well, fine. Go join a yoga society. Try to put your head, you know, your foot over your head, and maybe you'll get out of distress. Cut your toenail or something. Maybe that's what's causing your problem. But this is the Hare Krishna movement. At least for the devotees who are advanced, they're supposed to give up this sentimental, I'm in distress, help me in distress. Well, how long have you been in the movement? 70 years. Really? What have you learned? I learned how to eat prasadam. I'm expert. I can still eat. See if you can do that after 70 years. No, one should learn how to become tolerant. Krishna, first of all, he says we're not this body in Bhagavad Gita. But then he tells Arjuna, become tolerant. Because it's not like the final, oh, we're not this body, great, I can do whatever I want. I always wanted to be eternal, you know. Now I can eternally enjoy material energy. No, Krishna says, you're eternal, but then he says, matra sparshas to kondiya. Try to tolerate your mind urging the senses and the senses in the mind. Try and tolerate your sentimentalism and think about me. Fix your mind on something spiritual. So the Pandavas, Prahlad Maharaj, they set the example for beginning devotees that it's not that you can expect that when you become a devotee that everything is going to be cherries and cream. At least in America they say that. Cherries. Here we say ice cream, I guess. No, it's, everything is not going to be roses. It's not that. As soon as one becomes a devotee, one's past, we take initiation, throw the grains in, and our sins are going away. All the problems we have, or we're just like, we're transferring them over to the person who can handle them. I can't handle them. Here, you can have them all. This is my main offering today to you. No, one should expect that pain, suffering, disturbance in the material world, that's normal. Even Brahma, he was born the topmost pious person in the universe, and he decided to create some offspring because that's what Krishna wanted. He was just doing his duty. He created some offspring, and they turned out to be demons. He had a bad day, and his creation wasn't so sweet. And they were not just ordinary demons. They tried to attack him. I mean, that's normal nowadays. You have some children, they attack you, but Brahma wasn't expecting it. And then he was sitting there peacefully trying to meditate on Krishna, and a wind came along and practically knocked him off the lotus flower. I mean, that was really unexpected. I mean, Brahma didn't think he did anything wrong. I mean, bad weather comes, according, it's one of the kleshas, daivika klesha, but there were no demigods. Who sent the wind? In any case, he had to tolerate. He had to learn, because when he was in trouble, then he relied upon Krishna more. His attention focused more upon Krishna. He wasn't so relaxed. So if we expect happiness and peace in the material world, everything's going to go. Of course, no one expects that in Kali Yuga. As we know, Queen Kunti, she was praying after so much disturbance. Vishan mihagniya purushada darshanad asada sabya vanavada kricheta rideyam rideyam neka maharatastra so ranyastram asmat parame virakshitaha. That she was praying that so many problems, I mean, problems we can't even conceive of. If we step on a thumbtack, immediately we're, you know, calling 911 for the ambulance to come and take us away, save us. A little cut and we're practically out for the week. But Bhima was fed poison, Kalakuta poison, enough to kill 10,000 elephants. Because he had a good sense of fire digestion, so he just became a little sleepy. But then they threw him into a lake full of poisonous snakes that were all biting him. But luckily that poison from the snakes counteracted the Kalakuta poison, and he woke up. But that wasn't the end of it. They were put into a house of lac, who was set on fire. They ran out in the middle of the night. Hindimba tried to eat them. They got out of the forest. They try to strip their wife naked in front of all the elderly generals. They got vanquished into the forest. I mean, if you looked at their astrological chart, you'd think, wow, my God, you probably need a lot of remedies. This is a really tough life, you know. Maybe you should pray to Krishna. Maybe he can help you out. Or Shiva or someone. So they had a lot of problems. But she was praying, please, these problems, whenever we think of these problems, vipadakshantutakshasvat, tatra, tatra, jagatguru, whenever there's these problems they come, we think about you, and the more we think about you, the less likely is that we'll see birth and death. But she had to pray for problems. But we're much fortunate in Kali Yuga. We don't have to pray for problems. They're automatically coming. Every day they'll come. You can just look around the world now. They didn't have to pray, Krishna, please send us the coronavirus and shut down our entire economy so we can all starve to death. We need some other experience. Please, please. No, it automatically came by Krishna, by their own sinful activities and by their own karma and by Krishna's arrangement for whatever reason he's doing these things. Then he's provided this opportunity for distress. And undoubtedly, some people will turn to Krishna because of that, or to God. And what does Queen Kunti say? The worst thing, the most terrible thing that can happen to us, Janma Aishvarya Shuti Srivira Edamanak Madakpuman Naivahat Devadatumvai Twama Kinchana Gotra. She doesn't say getting wealth or material education or any of these things is bad. She says the desire to get them is bad. Because the more we desire, we're already, as she says, we're already intoxicated by material energy. But when you take more intoxication, then you become mad. You become crazy. So we're intoxicated by the bodily concept of life. And when we want to increase it, then we become crazy, completely crazy. It's like your brother has a 102 temperature and you're always competing with him. And you're complaining to your mother, my brother has 102, well, that's Fahrenheit. I don't know what centigrade is. 96 is normal temperature in Fahrenheit, centigrade. What's that? 37. So my brother has 38 and you complain to your mother, I want 39. He can't beat me. So materialism is like that. People are intoxicated by the bodily concept of life, and they want to get more and more intoxicated to the point they become completely crazy, stock raving mad. Like, we see people, they look quite crazy. They have tattoos all over their body. Even their eyeballs, they're trying to put a tattoo. They open their mouth, they have pearls or jewels all over their tongue. Obviously they want to attract someone's attention. And it's not God's, that's for sure. So people have become crazy trying to get some satisfaction. I was listening today to the purpose-centered church, and the person who's giving the lecture was saying that people like to hear the same old music. And he mentioned the Rolling Stones. People still go and hear the Rolling Stones concert. And they're still saying the same thing. I can't get any satisfaction. So why don't you try something else? You've been singing the same thing for 50 years now, and you haven't made any progress. Why don't you try some other methodology, maybe? Because you're crazy. You've been so intoxicated for so long, you have no brains to even think. That I've been singing the same song, the people have been listening to it, yeah, that's right, this really makes a lot of sense. And you and your audience are all mad, crazy, because you never try something different. You just want to lament the same old way for the last 50 years. So, it's not so bad trying to get material wealth or... But it should be utilized properly. So it takes us out of our intoxicated state so we don't become mad and so we can chant Hare Krishna with some feeling. Because only by chanting Hare Krishna with some feeling that we can actually attract Krishna's attention, and only by attracting Krishna's attention can we become liberated from this material misconceptions and become eligible to associate with Krishna and his devotees. Other than that, one has to simply go through the same process, sometimes feeling so-called happiness and then feeling some distress as a result of the attempt to become so-called happy, and then imagining now that we're distressed and lamenting, praying and that I'll never do this again, and then the next week we do the same thing all over again. So the conclusion is we should think of Krishna both in happiness and distress, that when one is happy, he knows that Krishna has put us in this position so we can render better service for him. And when we're distressed, we know we're simply getting a pinprick. Krishna is giving a pinprick so we can get free from our material tendencies. We deserve actually to get the electric chair, but he's giving us just a little pinprick to encourage us to stop our devious activities and to take up real devotional service. In any case, the devotee develops determination to always remain in Krishna consciousness under any circumstances. He's always vigilant that he remains Krishna conscious. That way, if you develop, even up to the stage of bhava, if you see a little puppy coming down the street, you won't fall in love with it and become a little puppy dog in your next lifetime, like Bart Maharaj. There's no deer around here, I don't think, but there's a lot of puppy dogs you can see on the street. So, we don't hate the puppy dogs, but we love Krishna. And we chant Hare Krishna to the puppy dog. We know that will help him. And even at the time of prema, one is not aware of anything else besides Krishna. So we should be cautious. Try to see how much we're remembering Krishna during the day, how much we're forgetting Krishna during the day, and try to increase our remembrance and decrease our forgetfulness. Which means increase the things that will help us remember Krishna and decrease the things that cause us to forget Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
I've heard some devotees complaining that when Krishna sends me troubles, I forget him. Better he shouldn't send me any troubles. And I've even seen sometimes that when devotees suffer, they sometimes even give up devotional service. So those who complained, at least I see them continue nicely. But I have seen also those who just gave up and I've never seen them again.
Yeah. Well, you don't see them, but Krishna sees them. He'll send them more trouble. Yes, it's the material world. People don't want to learn. They come to Krishna consciousness because they want Krishna to become their servant. And Krishna is not going to become their servant. So then they give Krishna up to become servant again of Maya. So thinking that they're not the servant anymore. So Maya will say, oh, that's right, you're the master. And she'll beat them until they realize that they're not the master. And then they'll come back to Krishna again. Until they finally realize, and whether I'm with Krishna or whether I'm with Maya, I'm always a servant. But that may take some lifetimes to realize that. But we're eternal, so. It's a big school. The universe is a big school. There's a lot of classrooms, so. We'll be put in some classroom to learn something. And if we don't, then we're set back. If we don't graduate, then we're set back a class or two. And eventually we'll learn. Anything else? Thank you very much. Krantaraj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.